This week in Retronauts, we celebrate Mario's embrace of thickness. Everyone, welcome to episode 580 of Retronauts. I am Jeremy Parrish, reverberating through your mind, because that's what happens in 3D spaces. Sound reflects off of surfaces and comes back to you as an echo, and we are talking about 3D, Mario in 3D. This is the Mario 3D ranking hootenanny. We've already done 2D, now we do 3D. You can't see it, but over in Osaka, Diamond Fight is pumping their fist.
Yeah.
So please, everyone, introduce yourselves, starting, I suppose, with our most enthusiastic contributor this morning, or this evening, as the case may be.
Hello, Native New Donker. It's Diamond Fight here.
I suppose you are.
I've never heard anyone say that before, and it sounds indescribably worse than I could have imagined. All right.
It took a long time to lose the accent, you know. I used to speak that way. You know?
What is a new donk?
Hey, I'm bouncing here.
Habiter.
Almost incomprehensible. Fair enough. That would, you know, that would be a great podcast voice, though. Just an hour and a half of that. Anyway, let's move closer to where I am, but not all the way close. Let's talk to the person in another country from me, who is in the USA.
Hi.
That's you, Nadia.
Yeah. I just put that together. Sorry. It's like...
Sorry.
It's 8:45 here. It's not exactly wake-up time.
Morning recordings.
Oh, for sure.
Life is tough here in New Donk.
We did so well with the 2D ranking that we thought you all deserved the responsibility of another dimension. You can handle this.
Mm-hmm. Another dimension.
All right. And finally, who else do we have being thoughtfully quiet and avoiding all of this nonsense?
And polite.
Hi, it's Kevin Bunch. Sorry, Zoom just crashed on me. So that's why I was so quiet.
Oh, dear.
So that's four of us for the Retronauts Mario 3D ranking hootenanny. And everyone was invited to contribute. Bob is just recovering from being in Japan and having fun. So, of course, he was not able to make it. Also, it's like 5 a.m. there. So that's unfortunate. Stuart is on vacation, about to go have fun and be irresponsible and spend time recovering. But Stuart did send over his rankings because he is never one to shy away from his expressing his opinions and being a lovable, plucky contrarian. So we will incorporate those. I'm still debating on whether or not I should try to read them in his voice. I think that would probably be insulting, so maybe I won't do that, but we shall see. I can break out my best Irish accent. Just talk like a leprechaun, just like Stuart does.
Such a
kind lad. So full of great opinions.
Okay, you know what? Actually, this was a mistake.
Okay. Glad we all agree.
Gonna get the whole of Europe after you.
Treat Stuart as if he is American, which is probably actually more insulting. But anyway, this is another of the Retronauts Hootenanny episodes. And you know what that means, unless you have not heard one before, in which case, my God, welcome. Thank you for finally listening to this show. The idea is that we go through a category of games chronologically, and we assign a number of quality to those games. In this case, it's a number from 1 to 8, because there are 8 games that qualify as quote-unquote 3D Mario games. Neat. Okay. So, the idea is that our favorite of these games gets a 1, all the way down to our least favorite, which gets an 8. I think we know which one is going to be the least favorite for most everyone this episode, but we'll see. Anyway, so the game at the end, when I tally the numbers that everyone provides, is the game with the lowest number is going to be declared the victor, the greatest of the Mario 3D games, and the others have to live in varying degrees of ignominy and just accept the fact that they are relatively losers compared to our favorite. I feel like we may be fairly in accord on this one, but maybe not. There have been some of these ranking hootenannies, which we've done for 2D Zelda and Castlevania and Mega Man and 2D Mario, and I feel like there was something else in there. Was there a Resident Evil hootenanny that I was not on?
That's right. I did that one.
Yes, okay. That was yours. Ah. Okay. So, yes, there have been several of these, and sometimes everyone is pretty much on the same page, and sometimes people come to blows. And I know people like drama, so even if we are in accord, we are still going to come to blows this episode. We are going to fight it out. It's going to be not like Diamond Fight, just, you know, like punchy, punchy fight. Yeah.
That was my nickname in high school.
Maybe those are the same thing. I don't know. Are there things about you we don't know? So, that is the pretext of this episode. It is fewer games this episode than we have discussed in previous Hootenannies, but I have a feeling that this garrulous bunch will manage to go on for at least an hour and a half, and you will not come away feeling as though you have been shortchanged for the podcast that you are probably listening to for free, or for a modest monthly stipend in which we thank you very much for helping to keep the show alive. Anyway, we'll do our best to satisfy everyone. Though, of course, we won't, because this is a podcast all about expressing opinions, and that never makes anyone happy. So, let's dive in to the 3D Mario universe, where, of course, we begin with Super Mario 64, because before that, the third dimension did not exist. It was only in 1996 that Nintendo perfected the technology of the Z-axis, and all of a sudden our worlds became more fuller, more voluminous. And I realize that I look very trim when you look at me straight on, but if you look at me from the side, I have kind of a gut and a butt. So I liked the world better when it was 2D. But nevertheless, I, like Mario, am slightly a thick boy, so I'm sympathetic to him and appreciate him representing those of us with booties. Okay, I need to let someone else take over. Okay, Super Mario 64. What is a good way to go about this so that we don't just blow through the scores immediately? You know what? I'm going to just let Kevin talk about your feelings about Super Mario 64, and then tell us what number you assign to that game.
So, as far as the 3D games go, I think this was a pretty solid start. I mean, I was there at the time, as all of you were, I suppose. And 3D games prior to Super Mario 64 were just really janky to maneuver through. And it's not like Mario 64 isn't kind of janky in hindsight, if you go back to it, but for the most part, it hangs together pretty well. Your ability to punch and kick things is very strange for Mario.
Yeah.
Especially coming to it from all the 2D games. And I remember being extremely unenthused about the cap system that they added in instead of all the different power-ups you had in the older games. And I still feel that way. I think it's kind of a cop-out. But yeah, the wing cap's pretty cool. It kind of, I mean, all of them are pretty cool in the way that they are showcasing the technology off. And like, oh, look, we can have fancy, shiny metal skin. Oh, look, you can have transparencies, sort of. And look, you can fly around our little 3D world. It's pretty cool, right? I'm like, yeah, okay, it's kind of cool. So, it's fine. I don't think it's amazing coming back to it from now, but at the time it was mind-blowing, and now it's fine.
That is kind of the challenge with Super Mario 64. What number do you give to this game, Kevin, on a scale of 1 to 8, 1 being best and 8 being not best?
I gave it a 5.
A 5, okay. Yeah, that's the challenge of Super Mario 64, is that there's the context of 1996 when it literally blew everyone, not literally, it universally blew people's minds, aside from people who were very avowed cynics and said, I refuse to be impressed by this. But for the most part, people picked up the N64 controller, and once they figured out how they were supposed to be holding it, were just amazed at the fact that Mario 64 was, quote unquote, a living cartoon. That was kind of the metric that we all used back then. Oh, it's like Jurassic Park, but in real time, that kind of thing. And there had been nothing else like it before. I mean, there had been 3D games. Jumping Flash did a great job of translating platforming and Doom into a kind of singular experience, and did a lot of really smart things, but it wasn't a patch on Mario 64, which did take the overall dynamics of Mario and do a pretty good job, a pretty convincing job of converting it all into a 3D space. And it does make a lot of compromises compared to kind of the expectations that you might have of a Mario game. But yeah, I don't know a lot of people who were complaining about it at the time, saying, oh, well, this doesn't have a fire flower and therefore it's poop. I mean, I'm sure people felt that way, but it just seemed kind of churlish. There were more valid complaints too. Like the camera system is very frustrating, that weird kind of Lakitu ratcheting thing going on, but it was still better than any other camera system in a 3D game to that point. So you kind of take the good with the bad, but yeah, that's the thing, is like, you look back and Mario 64 has a lot of very obvious flaws and could really use a thorough overhaul, as opposed to whatever they did on Switch in that collection that they sold for 3 weeks and then erased from history. Which, by the way, like, none of these games, maybe Mario 64 is on Nintendo Switch Online, but you're not going to be able to play any of these games besides Odyssey and Super Mario 3D World.
They're all ungames, practically.
Because Nintendo said, oh, we should make these games available for a week, and then if you don't buy it, we're putting it back in the Disney vault. So that's annoying and stupid and bad. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Super Mario 64 was not annoying and stupid and bad, although those camera issues really kind of kick your ass on some of the later stages, like the clock stage and the rainbow ride or whatever it's called. So I never actually got all the stars, because after a while I just said, you know what? This game is really cool and I love it, but also I enjoy my life and I'm going to get back to it. So I give this game, personally, a 4. 4 out of 8. So above average, but only because there is like that middle line in the average. Anyway, that's my score. Nadia, what about you?
It's funny that you bring up cynicism, because around the time that this game was kind of being really, really pushed, I was in high school. And I went to a nerd high school that was full of like nerds and computers and stuff. And I just always got into it with this guy who was into PC gaming. And he kept trying to tell me, of course, how Fight's just like, oh, over here. Yeah, I hear you, Fight. But yeah, just like, oh, the cartridge system, oh, Nintendo, ugh. And it's like, I said, but look at this cool reflection. You're talking about the Mario skin with the chrome. And he's like, well, that's not a real chrome. That's actually a projection. That's like blah, 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 blah. And here's a real, you know, example of a projection. He showed me like some computer game. I don't care. The point is that when I first got the N64, we had a friend come over and help us hook it up, because we had a real old TV. And the first thing he does is just kind of like play around on that playground, which was just like a really expertly crafted tutorial area, by the way, like absolutely perfect.
A freeform tutorial. It's great.
Absolutely perfect. And he just kind of takes this stick and goes around and around and starts screaming, I'm on crack, I'm on crack, I'm on crack. So that was his introduction into 3D gaming. I fully acknowledge the historical importance of this game. I was there. I did get all the stars. That was more in a desperation, because N64 did not have a lot of games going on at first. So,
that's totally fair. Yep. That's very fair.
Yeah. So I just kind of did it out of necessity, and my mom sure wasn't going to let me get a PlayStation after I just blew all my money on an N64. You know, that's where the Mega Man and Final Fantasy was. But anyway, the problem I have with this game, and you kind of brought up yourself, Parrish, is that when you get to the final levels, like TikTok Clock and the rainbow thing. Just try to get all the coins in those levels. Just try. I dare you. Like, you'll hate yourself by the end of your run. And it's, I don't recommend doing it ever. It's just such a brilliant game, but you can tell where they got rushed. Because we all know, like, infamously how this game was just, like, crunched to hell. 3D was hard enough. Making a 3D game to Nintendo standards must have been hell for them all. That is why, I mean, I pick up Mario 64 now. I picked it up in the collection and said, wow, this is a really cool, important historical game. I don't think I want to play it, especially if it's not the DS version, which should be on that collection, or should have been on that collection, as short-lived as it was. So I have to give Mario 64 a 7.
Whoa. Yep. Wow. Scorching.
Scorching Damn. Hot. I got the takes over here.
Wow. That's how you folks keep yourselves warm in Toronto. You yep. set fire to the internet.
Goddamn right.
All right. So this is where I will interject Stuart's opinions. His email title is My Terrible 3D Mario Opinions. Although in deference to Stuart, I will say My Terrible 3D Mario Opinions. I'm tempted to read this like Ringo Starr, but no, I'll just...
I hung it on me wall.
Talked about this in games that never clicked with you. But the short version is, I respect it for how it moved the medium forward while personally struggling with how unlike what I see as a Mario it is. He gives it a 5. Because, not because of the 3D issues, but because it doesn't do the Mario stuff that he wants a Mario game to do. And yeah, he has talked about this, so... Check back at that episode, which I don't remember the number of, because there's a lot of episodes for us to look back through, but it was called Great Games That Never Clicked With You, and you can hear all about Stuart in his own voice, not embarrassing impersonations, talking about the failings of Super Mario 64, yes. All right, finally, wrapping this up with Diamond Fight.
I'm very surprised. I didn't expect to be the outlier in this conversation.
Oh my God, but, are you going to get an 8?
Yeah. Chaos.
As you can see by my beautiful hat, this was a big game for me. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I remember I did not have it reserved or anything, but I definitely saw it in the store early on and I played it and I was like, oh, this is good. Oh, I need this. Mm. And so I got it as quickly as possible and I got it home and my friends and I were all loved it and we played it a lot. And yes, eventually when the Nintendo 64, the releases kind of dried up a little bit, we're like, oh, we have more time. Let's just play more Mario 64. And we did. We kept playing it because we still loved it. And what I think stands up about this game, what I think still holds up about this game is if you look at the moveset and the controls and how they decided Mario should move in a 3D space, so much of that just sticks. So much of that is still how Mario moves today. You know, the sliding into a long leap and the fact that you can run and then change direction and do a quick sort of like tumble into the air. It's extra high.
Fun.
A lot of the moves they decided, you know, 25 years ago, actually more 25 years ago, like they're still there. They still think, oh, this is good. We want this. So in my eyes, this is the best 3D Mario game because it works. It works the most. It set down the rules for Mario, and they stuck to these rules for a very long time, and only edited them slightly in certain later editions. But you know, if you play Odyssey, there's still a lot of 64 just laying right underneath the surface.
I agree.
So this is my number one.
Oh,
wow!
Nice.
Wow. Right. Okay.
Number one.
Well, let's see. That gives this a total score of 22. Out of a possible 5, or a possible, what would that be, like 40? Yes, okay. Right. Yes. There in the middle, actually. We'll see where that ends up in the final rankings. But Diamond, thank you for balancing out Nadia's very raw opinions.
I understand there's a bit of a shock, but I'm also looking in terms of, like, how fun is this to play now?
God, I thought you Canadians were supposed to be nice.
No, very savage, especially, like, we usually keep it on the ice, but sometimes we just gotta spill out.
Okay, fair enough.
Those intense curling matches.
Thank you. Okay, now we move on to Super Mario Sunshine, the game that followed Super Mario 64. That was, it had a lot riding on it. That was a lot to live up to. And it took Nintendo, gosh, what, 6 years to follow up Mario 64 with a proper sequel. Whereas Zelda Ocarina of Time got a sequel 2 years later, kind of reworking some assets, but still, you know, Majora's Mask was just 2 years later. It was a quick follow-up. They spent a long time gestating this one. And I'm curious to hear what all of you think about how that time it spent in the oven worked out. Did it do things, did it do right by Mario? Or is it actually a blot of darkness amidst the sunshine? There we go, yes.
There you go, you got it.
Fight, since you had such strong opinions, strong positive opinions about Mario 64, I'm curious to know where you land on Sunshine.
Well, you know, there's a story going around that many, many year ago, Shigeru Miyamoto wanted to have Super Mario Brothers have Mario just have a gun. He was going to run around Mushroom Kingdom with a gun. And
it's true. I've seen the sketches.
A++.
Yeah. And thankfully, he didn't do that.
Oh,
and that
coward.
That was one of the bad ideas that he had. And I wish...
No, but we did get Super Pitfall, which tried to do that. And then, you know, if you look at Super Pitfall, you can see what a bad idea it is.
And then somehow, many years later, after having the success of Super Mario 64, they're like, okay, but what if it's a water gun? And sadly, no one stopped him. No one stepped in. No time traveler arrived from the future to say, no, Miyamoto, you got it. No, turn back. You're going the wrong direction. Because, holy crap, and I say this, I was there, okay, I had my game, you know, the GameCube's having a moment these days, everyone loves the GameCube, which was not the case in 2000,
no, absolutely.
Which is the early 2000s, people were laughing at it, people were making fun of it, I had my GameCube, I played a lot of GameCube games, I really enjoyed the GameCube, I had this one at launch, because like, oh, Super Mario 64 was amazing, I want this new Super Mario game, and yeah, I was not impressed. And I was not impressed at the time. So this is not hindsight. This is not me, you know, being contrarian. Like, I was playing with my friends, and we played it, and all of a sudden, one day, I beat it. Like, oh, wait, this is the final boss. Oh, my God. And he's in a hot tub. What's happening? And just, yeah. I wrote a column about this if you want the full story, but the short version is, this is bad. It's bad. It's a mistake. And, you know, we can talk about how all these games are pretty good overall. Like, none of them are actually bad. But this is, as Mario games go, this is pretty bad. It, for me, this is the bottom. This is number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
You are a person of extremes from 1 to 8, just like that.
And you can thank me right now because I could have done this entire podcast in a flood voice, and I'm not doing that, people, because I love you. I love you, people, and I'm not going to do that to you.
I mean, we've got the new donk voice. We get the flood voice. Why don't we just have a babble centric episode of Retronauts, and everyone can spend time decrypting what we said. You know, there can be theories about it for years about what we were saying.
Dibs on the Luna voice.
I just want a Star Fox voice. All right, so I'm going to jump over to our UK correspondent, Stuart Jipp, who says, Super Mario Sunshine. Great ideas, but a focus on frustrating objectives and some otherwise muddled execution make it one I tend not to enjoy. And he gives it a 6, which, you know, might be the highest score that it sees this episode.
Oh, God.
Kevin, where do you stand on this towering monumental work of water sports? Sorry, I threw you off there.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So Diamond talked a lot about Flood, which I thought Flood was actually one of the decent parts of this game. I like all the different attachments you get with Flood. I like how they sort of build the puzzles and the stages around using Flood, which that was very nice. The downside is that when you don't have Flood, the game goes to shit.
Mm.
You don't like the bonus challenge levels where it's just, you know, 3D platforming, pure Mario classic style?
3D platforming with no way to correct yourself in the air, which, you know, Mario 64 had. You could do that little jump kick and that would let you line yourself back up. Not so much in this, in those bonus stages, because in this game, it's Flood that you use to line yourself up. And, you know, the camera, you mentioned the camera is kind of crap in Mario 64, and it's not great, but somehow they made it worse in Sunshine.
It's just awful.
Yeah. It's awful to get around the stages in this game because you don't know where you're going. They add in Yoshi, which was cool. Yoshi's neat in this game, except for the fact that the second he touches water, he dies. Which was a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
On the upshot, I like the central concept of the game, like cleaning up the graffiti. I like the unified setting a lot more than the sort of disparate nonsense going on in Mario 64. But those do not make up for everything else happening in this game. Oh, yeah, and the purple coins.
Oh, yeah.
Those purple coins are wretched. There's no tracking for those things. Like, which ones did I get? I don't know. I didn't write them down. Guess I'll never get all the shines. Oh, and Bowser Jr. sucks, too. I wrote that in here.
I love Jr., but I'll go on.
That is true. This game does make the mistake of introducing him into canon.
Yep.
Okay, Kevin.
So I gave it an 8.
An 8. Okay.
Shocker.
All right. And I'm going to jump in here and say that I also gave Super Mario Sunshine an 8, with the caveat that all of these games are very good to amazing, and 8 does not mean it is a bad game. Super Mario Sunshine, there's a lot I really like about it. And, you know, at the time that it came out, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And maybe, you know, maybe that means all of you are suckers, because a year later, I entered the gaming press and became a fairly respected video game reviewer. And yet here I was, loving Super Mario Sunshine and going on forums and arguing with people about how great it was. If only you knew, as you were reading my 1UP.com reviews, that this was the person who was behind all of these opinions. But no, the Flood jetpack mechanic and water gun mechanic is really cool. The level designs are interesting for the most part. I like the tropical setting and how they managed to squeeze things like ghost houses and that sort of thing into the space. I like the addition of Yoshi. You know, there's a lot about Super Mario Sunshine that I really enjoy. I like the challenge levels, the kind of bonuses. And I even like the cleaning up to a point, but it's just, it doesn't feel like they quite polished this one enough, that they needed to take a little more time to refine it. And I think because the GameCube was in sort of dire straits, they did not do that. They needed to get some software out as quickly as possible to shore up the GameCube's flagging performance on the market. So we end up with this kind of rushed Mario game. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they just don't care. but yeah, I feel like going back to it a few years ago, I was surprised by how much I really, truly detested the controls and the camera. And there's just a lot of little kind of minor things, like a little too much cleaning up. It gets tedious after a while. A little too much trouble finding these, you know, these hidden coins for that comprise level objectives, but aren't really well telegraphed or tracked in any way. Which, you know, you'd think they would have learned the lesson from Donkey Kong 64, but they did not. So, yeah, it does still suffer from some of the mistakes of that era of video gaming. So that is an 8 for me. But still, it's a fond 8. I do like this game overall. I just have a hard time going back to it because of all the, you know, the rough interface and everything.
Kinder than I would be.
I am inherently a kind person. That is just my nature. The Vietnamese have a word for it, hien. And that's what everyone in my wife's family says that I am. So there you go. I'm just a gentle, kind, hien person.
That's nice.
Nadia, what about you?
Well, big surprise, I'm not a huge fan of this one either. Going over the myriad ways that it kind of disappointed me. Let's see, first of all, y'all kind of went over the controls, which were kind of garbage, especially in the challenge level, which I hated with every fiber of my being. You know what, though? I will stand up for Bowser Jr. I absolutely will. Not in this game. In this game, one of the things that pissed me off so bad was a story, which they decided to insert in this game, was baffling. Just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing when this child, First of all, I was like, who is this child and where are the Koopalings? Because I'm like, Bowser already has kids. Did he kill them or sacrifice them to get this runt? I don't know. But he starts screaming about how Peach is his mom. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then Peach, instead of saying like, you know, oh my God, what are you talking about? No. She's like, oh, your mother? What? And she gets kidnapped. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like, I just have to keep playing this game so I can have an explanation. Like,
I don't remember passing a dragon turtle thing through my birth canal, but maybe yeah. I just blinked that out of my memory. Yep, that's right, teenage
just,
Peach.
Just for a while, Peach was a real airhead. And I mean, in Mario 64, I think it was Leslie Swann who voiced her, and it was like, you know, dear Mario, don't come to the castle. I bake this dog shit cake that really sucks. Like, she baked a cake, but it wasn't exactly like character death, but I like Leslie Swann voice. She made it sound like, hey, Mario, let's be friends. Let's have a cake. And then you have her in the next game going, duh, I gave birth to a turtle dragon. Oh, what? And I feel like she's only finally starting to get her character back, which is cool. But anyway, in terms of the game itself, I got bored with the tropical setting. I like tropical stuff, but the thing I love about Mario is going to those different places. Like Mario 3 has all the kingdoms, like, wow, Pipeland, wow, Skyland. That's the kind of thing I like out of Mario. And with Mario Galaxy, Mario Sunshine, it's like, wow, palm trees, wow, dissolving Yoshi. Like it just like wasn't extremely fun. And I do have to give it props though, and I still don't know if this was intentional, but you've all heard about the Shining reference in there, right? The really obscure, weird Shining reference.
In the hotel?
The hotel, the manta ray. The shadow manta ray. Which, like, okay, I admit I have to check this for myself because my mother stole my copy of The Shining. But apparently at the end of The Shining, when the hotel blows up, there's a very specific metaphor that's used about a manta ray, like kind of shadowy manta ray sliding across the ground. And it divides up into other smaller manta rays and just kind of fiddles away. And of course, the best part of this game is arguably the manta ray fight, which is you fight that shadowy manta ray that does divide into different parts. And it could completely be a coincidence. I don't know, but it seems a weird coincidence to me. Either way, this game gets an 8.
And you are collecting shines.
There you go. Mm, hey,
that's true.
So this game Everyone is shines. The shining of Mario.
Yeah, some games shine, some don't. This one does not.
So Nadia, you said that was an 8 for you?
That was an 8. Maybe a 10 for Idiot Peach.
Wow. Gosh.
Can I just say, I had a lot of bad things to say, but I want to say one good thing. The challenge levels do give us the wonderful a cappella version of original Mario music, and I do like that, mm-hmm. and I hope our editor puts it in there.
It's the soundtrack of my nightmares, because I hate those levels.
It inspired Smooth McGroove's entire career.
I like that guy.
Me too.
I do too. He's always like, you know, there's the little camera insert where he's like holding his cat and the cat's like, what the hell is going on?
I actually have I have his plushie and his cat plushie too. It's really cute.
Aw, there you go. Anyway, so Super Mario Sunshine is no Smooth McGroove. It's a 38 out of 5 possible. I feel like, or of 40 possible, if you must. I feel like it's going to be tough for any, like maybe mathematically impossible for any game to do worse than that. But again, I say this with fondness because I still think it's a fun game for the most part. It's just amongst these luminaries, it's just not quite there. Speaking of luminaries, here we go. Super Mario Galaxy. Ah, what about that segue? Goddamn, I'm on fire.
Well done.
Thank you. Yes, anyway, so Super Mario Galaxy. That was what, 2008? So another 6 years or so? 2007. Okay, so they whipped it around a little faster. This was in the era where no one knew what the Wii was going to do. Could it be a huge success? Could it be another GameCube-sized flop? It turned out to be a tremendous success, but maybe not in the ways that anyone expected, aside from Reggie, who was out there sailing the blue ocean. But Super Mario Galaxy, I think it's fair to say it was a return to form for Mario. It was what we expected to see in a sequel to Super Mario 64, as opposed to Mario's Tropical Vacation with a water pack and a weird Oedipal dragon baby.
He looked delicious when he came apart, I have to admit.
So Super Mario Galaxy, who have we not started with before? Nadi, have you taken first watch on this yet? No, you haven't.
No.
So let's go. Lead us off. What do you think?
Mario Galaxy, spoiler, this is probably my favorite because, as you covered already, it restored my faith in Mario because Mario Sunshine was such a disappointment and I was just ready for a good 3D Mario again. And this delivered in many ways. Like, first of all, the soundtrack, like, just no one expected a Mario soundtrack to go that hard, as brilliant as Koji Kondo is.
Oh,
like, that's just absolutely sublime. I liked the levels. I loved the 3D effect. I loved the inspiration, like, from Little Prince, which is, like, such a great book, such a great story. And, of course, that kind of brings us to the fact that this game had a story. And unlike Mario Sunshine, it had a really nice story. Like, I don't know, I can't verify this, you would know, Parrish, but, like, apparently it had to be kind of snuck in under Miyamoto's nose and he didn't appreciate it, but you had
that's,
the bit
that's
with,
what I've heard. Yeah.
With Rosalina and the storybook. And there's a reason, Miyamoto, sir, why people love this game so much and people love Rosalina so much, because she was a character who was allowed to be kind of vulnerable, which was not something you see in a Mario game. And her storybook, just a lovely illustration, lovely watercolor effect there. And yeah, it's just memorable on so many levels. Even the fact that they hid the loading time with those incredible flying sequences, which is just like being in a dream. Like, you know, you open your arms and woo, you're flying through the air. It's just a really well-paced, really great game all around. It's my number one, I think.
Number one. Very good. Yeah, I'm going to jump in here and say, you mentioned the way you kind of have these constant changes. That, to me, is my favorite thing about Mario Galaxy, is that within a stage, you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And I feel like they've tried to do that with Super Mario Wonder, but it becomes kind of predictable after, you know, about one world of it, where you're like, oh, yes, I see something new in this stage, and so that's going to turn weird in a little bit. And it just becomes a little formulaic, in my opinion. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion about Mario Wonder, and I admittedly haven't beaten it yet, but I just haven't been able to maintain my interest in it. Whereas Mario Galaxy, I feel like the changes that you experience in the course of a stage are totally unpredictable. Like, I never, you know, when you play it, you don't know what's going to happen next. Are you going to go to, like, this tiny little rock in space that is basically about the size of Mario's butt and you have to, like, do something weird there? Or are you going to go to some sort of bizarre donut conduit that's made entirely of water? Or are you going to, you know, fight some sort of creature on an asteroid? Are you going to, like, a huge flat space? Are you going to be fighting in a warship fleet? Like what's going to happen? I just feel like at every turn, Super Mario Galaxy surprised me, and I loved that. And I loved, you know, the overall feel of it. I loved the, like, there's a sense of elasticity about it. It really feels like the idea of that, you know, oh, it's an interactive cartoon that people talked about with Mario 64, but taken to more of a Warner Brothers extreme, where everything is just kind of rubbery and they really play with the physics. And the physics vary kind of depending on where you are. And you have to think about, like, the space that I'm occupying right now, the surface that I'm on, like, how are the rules going to change? And how do I need to adjust the way that I play for that? It's just full of great ideas from start to finish. And yeah, like, I reviewed this game for 1UP. I gave it a great score. And I just remember the thing that I remember about the review process is that I had a lot going on in life at that point, and I was constantly being interrupted and having to go places and do stuff. But I reviewed it by just, you know, getting in little sessions here and there, like playing through a stage or two. And every time I was just amazed and intrigued by what was happening. So yeah, just a great experience. And I think it holds up really well. It still plays extremely well. The structure of the game kind of restricts and limits how the camera works. So it doesn't even suffer from the camera issues that plagued the first two 3D Mario games. Yeah, it's good, good stuff. And I really, really like it. So after all of that gushing, I'm giving it 2.
It's my number.
So something out there I love even more. How about that?
Nice.
Diamond.
Okay, I'm going to keep this brief because I wrote a column of this game too, so you can read that for more of my extended thoughts. But the short version is I did not appreciate this when it first came out. It had a lot of irritating features, which I think overshadowed the game for me as a whole, which is why this is one of the first Mario games that I just never, ever got to the end. So I actually don't know how this game ends.
Oh, the ending is so cool.
It has a really weird, like, end of Evangelion ending.
Yeah,
it's like, really
it's totally
strange.
Evangelion.
All right, well.
But the final stage is really cool.
I hope to reach it someday because I do feel that when I revisited this as part of the Super Mario 3D All-Stars, I feel like the Switch version helped fix some of the issues I had with that game. Most notably, it gives you a button to do the spin attack instead of having to shake your hand to do the spin attack. And to me, that was a real bugbear because I did not like the fact that this essential technique was a dedicated motion that you had to just do it. And if you didn't shake it just right, you didn't do the move. And if you didn't do that move at the right time, you would just die, which is just hell. I also really hated the fact that this game, you know, as always, you know, you got Mario games, you're going to get a lot of lives in Mario games. If you save this game, it does not save your life tally.
I don't even remember that.
It's true. It does not save it.
Gracious.
So when if you stop playing for whatever reason, like, you know, you got to do something else in your life and you come back, whatever lives you stocked up are just gone, which means now you have to go back and just stock up on lives again if you're going to hard space. And I hate that. I hate that a lot. So I have softened my take on this game. I think the Switch version is much better. And I think this game deserves more credit for a lot of its creativity. But for me, I still put it lower on the list because it bugged me so much with its irritants. So it is, in fact, for me, a 6.
Gracious.
6.
Gracious, yes. gracious me.
Spoiler. Wow. All right. Let's balance things out here with Stuart, who says, Super Mario Galaxy never stops being fun from start to finish and lasts the exact correct amount of time before coming to a spectacular conclusion and gives it, like me, a 2. Kevin, bring us home.
I'm kind of just going to echo what Nadia was saying. Like, this game was kind of an incredible experience after playing Sunshine. I really like how they handled going between the different worlds. Like you mentioned that it sort of clears up the camera issues, and they have so much fun with it too. Like, the way gravity works is just such a fascinating thing to see in these sort of 3D platformers. Like running alongside the side of something that was clearly should be oriented a different way. Like, oh, that was just super cool. And I really liked the hub area with Rosalina and the little Loomas and the little fat Loomas you could feed the star bits to. They were adorable.
Oh, and Captain Toad.
And Captain Toad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The little guy's so great he got his own series.
Yeah. If I had to ding it for really anything, it's that, like, you unlock Luigi eventually, and, like, it's not that interesting.
If you tell people that Mr. L is in the game, Nintendo of America will sue you.
Oh, yeah, they will do that.
He is embargoed information. He is a secret.
But, yeah, I really like it. I really like how the spin attack can be used for, you know, landing correction for 3D platforming, which is probably why they've just continued to keep that as a thing in all of their 3D games. So, yeah, I gave this a 3. Believe it or not, there are 2 games I liked more than this.
Wow, okay. All right, so that brings us to a score of 9, 11, 14 points for Super Mario Galaxy. A fine, fine game, and everything that everyone said was correct in its own way. All right, moving on now to Super Mario Galaxy. I'm going to start with this one and just say this was the first Mario game that I have not finished. For some reason, this one just never connected with me. I played it at press preview events and was like, oh, okay, that's neat. It's more Mario Galaxy. Okay, cool. And then I sat down with it and just it never really connected with me. I feel like it was just Like, I'd already done this. And yes, it had Yoshi, and there were some of the fun fake 2D levels, but it didn't really bring anything new to Mario Galaxy's experience, which I'd already had and felt was kind of cohesive and whole and satisfying. Like Stuart, I feel like that game ended without dragging its feet too long. And Mario Galaxy 2 just felt like, here we are dragging our feet. I guess what I've come to realize about 3D Mario or 3D Nintendo games, such as the Mario series and the Zelda series, is that I don't really enjoy the games that are just the previous game redux. And we can talk about that when we get to the Zelda 3D ranking hootenanny, I guess. But woo-hoo. That's why I also haven't really bothered with Tears of the Kingdom. I'm like, well, I still haven't even finished Breath of the Wild, and I don't know if I want even more of that. Like,
Tears is so good.
That's what I hear.
Much more.
That's what I hear. But yeah, like my experiences here with Nintendo's previous 3D sequels that are iterative, it just doesn't quite work for me. So I will say, like, this is a very good game and it builds on one of the best, but it just doesn't quite click for me. And I'm giving it a 6 out of 1. Kevin, where do you stand on Super Mario Galaxy 2?
Oh, well, see, I'm kind of in the opposite boat, because while this doesn't have, like, the charming, like, hub area from Galaxy 1, and, it, you know, the story is basically just the same thing, I don't know what they were doing with that, I really like the extra levels they put in this game. I thought they were really thought through. You know, if you think about, like, Super Mario Brothers, and you think about, you know, the Lost Levels as sort of an expansion on that, this is sort of that, except the stages aren't nearly as cruel.
Thank God.
At least not early on, thank God. And, you know, they have Luigi in this again, and like, in Lost Levels, he has, like, his little high jump, and he slides a lot more. But I like how he's implemented in this game a lot better than in Galaxy 1, because in this game, you know, they have these green stars that they just hid throughout the level. It's sort of a predecessor to how they hid the shines or whatever they were in Mario Odyssey. And you just have to, like, explore around and you'll find them. And they're really designed around Luigi's moveset, but if you want to keep using Mario to find them, you can. That's fine. So, yeah, for me, this was my number one. I really like how this game number came one. Together.
Okay. Fight.
Well, as I said, at the time, Galaxy did not impress me. So when Galaxy 2 came around, I was like, well, this is more Galaxy. I don't want that. So I never bought it. I did play it a couple times, like when I, like, saw it in the wild at friends' houses or whatever. I really hoped that the 3D All-Stars would include it, but they didn't. Nintendo says, no, we're not going to release this.
That was a weird choice.
Good move.
Yeah. So it's easily, of all the games on the list, it's the one I've spent the least amount of time playing. Obviously, I didn't finish Galaxy. I never came close to, you know, I barely played this one. So, unfortunately, it's sort of stuck in limbo for me as less than Galaxy as 7, just because I haven't had a chance to go back and give it a second chance. So maybe I'll like it more, you know, because Galaxy impressed me when I actually got to play it again. Maybe Galaxy 2 will do the same for me. But for now, it's just sort of placeholder. It's more Galaxy, which I didn't want back then. So 7.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they didn't put it on the collection. It's lost media at this point. There's really only millions of copies out in the wild. How would you ever get a chance to get your hands on this game? Yeah. No, I'm kind of with you. Let's see what Stuart has to say. Super Mario Galaxy 2 feels like all the dregs that didn't make it into the first game. The second half of the game showcases level design I'd expect from vastly inferior developers. It has its moments, but it's a no from me. Score of 8. Wow. Stuart, wow. Scorching the earth, setting fire, burning bridges. Gosh, I wish he had been here to just, you know, say that all in his own voice. It would have been amazing. But we must carry on. Nadia, bring it home for us.
Basically, for me, this was just more Galaxy, which I was okay with. It felt like an expansion pack, to be honest with you. But it did have Yoshi. It did have Luigi. Those both things I enjoyed very much, especially having a Yoshi that didn't dissolve. Like, Yoshi has some fun stuff going on, including inflation, apparently. And one thing I didn't like about it was the story was gone. Rosalina was gone. And they kind of got rid of the hub in favor of a, you know, easier to navigate map, mind you, but it was not nearly as much personality. I did like Lubba, though. I just like, he's just like this fat guy on an adventure. Yeah, you go, bud. You go. I just gave it a 3 because it was more galaxy. I enjoyed it. What more do you want?
All right. 14, 22, 25 out of 5. So as it stands now, Super Mario Galaxy is the best of the games. Mario 64 coming in 2, Mario Galaxy 2 coming in 3, and Mario Sunshine coming in 4th. But there's still 4 more to go in the back half of this episode, but we are going to take a quick break and regroup in 5 minutes, because that is what we do here in Old Person Land. We're back, my friends, and talking some more about 3D Mario games. This time, we're jumping ahead to the year, man, what was this, like 2011-ish, 2012?
Yes, 2011.
Okay, so early on in the 3DS lifespan, with Super...
Not as early as they would have liked.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it launched earlier that year, but yeah, I guess if the system had launched with this game, it might have done better. Then again... Maybe not. Maybe this would have gone down ignominiously, kind of like New Super Mario Brothers U, because people just didn't care about the system at that point. Maybe this game came out at the right time, after they had dropped the price, built interest, and the 3DS started to recover from its early dismal sales. This was actually, yeah, as I think about it, this was probably the game that they needed just at that moment to say, hey, things have been a little rough, but now it's cheaper, and check out this kick-ass Mario game. And I guess I'm just going to segue into my own comments here, because as an avowed handheld gaming advocate, who pretty much got his foot in the door in games media by writing about handheld games because no one else wanted to,
yeah,
this game felt very... personally validating for me, because it was a console quality Mario game on a portable system. And it's like Galaxy, it does a lot of unexpected things. It's not quite as built around novelty as Super Mario Galaxy, but they play around with the concepts and the format a lot. At the same time, it does kind of lean on, hey, look, 3D visualization, but the game is perfectly playable and fine without that. And, they do kind of recognize, the developers recognize the limitations of portable systems in that era. And so instead of giving you like a totally full range 3D experience, they take into account the more limited, you know, button arrangements and the tiny screen size. And so this is kind of this transitional Mario game where it's, you know, a 3D sort of open, move along the Z-axis type experience, but with the restraints of more that you would expect of a 2D style, of a 2D Mario game. So it does feel like this kind of in-between space where you almost would qualify it as a Mario 2D game, but it does have a lot of 3D elements. And, you know, you have things like the shift to a top-down space, which you can't really do in a 2D game. And they throw in some Zelda references and things like that. And, it's a lot of fun. And then you beat the game and realize, oh, there's a whole second half. And, you know, you can tackle that with Luigi, and it's extra difficult. So there's like basically 4 playthroughs of this game if you want to get the full experience. At the same time, they were starting to realize that the sort of punishing arcade-inspired structure of lives and challenges and continues and so forth didn't really make sense for Mario games as they moved increasingly into the mainstream. And they tried to engage that to a degree with Mario Galaxy and the second player pointer control. You know, like if you're playing with someone who has no motor skill development whatsoever, such as a child or just, you know, a partner who never plays video games, they can just point the pointer at stars and collect them. But, you know, if you want to play with another person, that's sort of unsatisfying. So instead of, you know, trying to replicate that here, they just said, well, you know, we want to make this game open and available for pretty much everyone. So they added the basically the mercy mode, which is if you fail enough, then they're like, hey, here's a really powerful suit. You can basically steamroll everything in your path. You know, if you have too much pride, don't use it. But if you just want to get to the next stage, here you go. It's a pretty good compromise. It made some people angry, but in fairness, some people are stupid. So
can't argue that, I guess.
So yeah, I really, really like this game. It really felt like one of the first dedicated handheld games to truly transcend that medium, and you know, to kind of present itself with the quality and panache of a proper big budget console game, and to be taken seriously by critics and by players on that same level. So I feel like this was a really important maturation moment for portable gaming as a whole. So now having said all of that, I'm wondering why I only gave it a 5 in my rankings. And I think that's just because Mario games are so good. Mm-hmm. Like this game kicks ass, but yet there are just 4 games in the 3D space that are more important, more groundbreaking, more enjoyable, more entertaining than this one. And that's not a reflection on Super Mario 3D Land, which to me is still, you know, like an A-grade game in my heart. It's just, you know, you're kind of getting into that weird, funny part of the bell curve where it's just, you know, a matter of precision, of tiny little half points or quarter points or tenths of points. Anyway, I love this game, but yeah, 5. What can you say? Nadia, what about you?
I like the word you use there, which is like kind of validating. The 3DS went through a very rough start. And when I actually previewed this game at, I think it was E3 2011, I think you were there as well. That's when I got to kind of get my hands on it and say, oh, okay, I like what they're doing here. One of the things that's important to note about this game, I think, is that it's really Nintendo delving right back into nostalgia, because they made a big deal like, hey, the Tanuki suit is back, everyone. Look over here. And yeah, that was fun. Like, that was actually a really good way to let you adjust your jumps in a 3D space that was kind of a little bit, you know, sketchy at times. If I'm not mistaken, this was also the instance where you would get like little letters from the princess in between some stages, and you'd see like these great illustrations by, yep, I can't remember the name of the artist who's working at Nintendo now, but they do fantastic work that really calls back to the old style of Mario while being just really fresh and modern at the same time. And I really like those little letters and the fact that I did play 3D on, like you would open it up and something would spring out at you like a child's, you know, pop-up book. And I feel like the world, 3D World and 3D Galaxy, sorry, 3D World and 3D Land games, like both have a very good sense of what makes Mario joyous, and they really delve into that. And a little extra touch that I really enjoyed is the fact that Mario has a Tanuki suit and Luigi has a Kitsune suit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a nice, just that little rivalry there. Like, I absolutely love that kind of little, like, visual storytelling. So, as you say, Parrish, it's like, okay, all I can do is sing this game's praises, and yet I had to give it a 6 because there's just better out there. I mean, still a fantastic game. Really did feel console quality. This, alongside, I think, Mario Kart 7 came out the same year, and it started to really get the 3DS back on its feet, and it felt good.
So what was the number you gave this one?
Oh, 6.
6. Okay. Sorry. Wow. Poor. No one takes portable gaming seriously after all.
I'm sorry. I'm a fake gamer girl over here.
Kevin, what about you?
So y'all basically said all the things I wanted to say about this game. But one thing I do really enjoy is that it's one of the rare 3DS games where the 3D functionality is actually really helpful.
Yeah.
Because you've got like those little puzzle rooms where you need to use the 3D to figure out where you're supposed to actually jump to get through them. And even in the, you know, the main stages, it's really nice to have that on just so you can help figure out where you're jumping and where you're lined up with. So I think this is a really good use of that. Didn't really see that often. I also really loved the illustrations. I thought they were adorable. And I'm kind of glad that they've kept using them in more recent games.
Me too.
And yeah, the power-ups were great. Levels, designs were great. I was just hooked on this game when I was playing it. I didn't put it down until I was finished. I gave it a 2. This is
okay.
Right after Galaxy 2 for me and right ahead of Galaxy. So
very
it's
nice.
It's the delicious cheese in the grilled cheese sandwich.
I can agree with that.
So now we're going to find out which one is the butter in the grilled cheese sandwich. But anyway, for the moment, Diamond, what did you have to say about Mario 3D Land?
Well, I was prepared to come in here and chastise some folks, but Kevin helped turn it around because, yes, this is a great game, and yes, it deserves to be at the top, so I gave it a 2 as well. This is a fantastic game. It came at, you know, as you said, it came at just the right time, and if they got a little bit earlier, it might have changed the entire 3DS narrative, but thankfully it arrived just in time anyway, but it who knows what would have happened if it came, you know, even a few months earlier, or if they didn't have to launch 3DS as early as they did because of that leak thing, whatever. We're not going to do that, relegate that thing again, but point is, this game is great. You get to save after every level. Some of the levels are very short, which is nice.
That's true. Yeah.
I do like the fact that the difficulty is iterative. Like, later on in the game, you'll play stages you've already played before, but now they're just harder. They've added challenge to them, which is just like an exciting way to build that up.
It's a classic reprise of stages 2-3 and I believe 5-3 from Super Mario Brothers on NES, where they just had the same level design over, but now there's more enemies and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but they got very creative. Like, oh, it's like they did it before, but now just the platform just appears twice as fast, or... You know what? Now we've got a poison Mario chasing you the entire time, which is actually very stressful. I think it's a fantastic game. So, yeah, 2.
And finally, from Stuart, Super Mario 3D Land is a dry run for its bigger brother, but a very enjoyable dry run and one of the most generous possible post-game rewards. Score of 3. So that gives Mario 3D Land an 11, 13, 15, 18. Way to go, Mario 3D Land, even though portable gaming advocates Nadia and Jeremy did not stick up for you.
Sorry about that.
Nevertheless, no, I'm right there with you. I'm guilty. Now I remember why I scored Mario 3D Land where I did, and that's because Super Mario 3D World exists. And as Stuart said, a dry run for its bigger brother. Kevin, you loved Mario 3D Land, so let's hear what you have to say about Mario 3D World.
So this game never grabbed me like Mario 3D Land did. I never finished it, at least not solo. I played chunks of it in a group, which is a much better experience, I felt. But the single player is just kind of boring for me. So it's not a bad game. It's fine. It's got some neat stage designs. It's got that weird cat suit. It has the extremely bizarre choice of unlocking Rosalina as a character, but only after you've 100%ed all but like 2 stages. So it's like, why did you even bother at that point? I gave it a 6. It's all right.
Okay, 6. So that is your Super Mario 3D Land.
Yeah.
Compared,
you all can defend it a little more than I can.
In my world, yes. So you would not call this the cheese on the or the butter on the grilled cheese sandwich.
No, this is the plate.
I guess that's better than the napkin. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what Stuart has to say. I bet that's going to be more positive. Whoa, yes, it's everything I like about 2D Mario somehow transposed into 3D. Wide, linear obstacle courses full of cleverly hidden bits and bobs. Maybe the pinnacle of Mario, period. A joy start to finish. Score of 1. Bam! Send there that to is. The bank, folks. Diamond, what about you? You also scored Mario 3D Land highly, so here is ostensibly a bigger, better multiplayer-er version of it. Where do you place it?
I had a good time with this one. It definitely gave me a lot of what I wanted. It was also I appreciate it very much because, you know, in the light of the new Super Mario Brothers games going multiplayer but refusing to let us play as Peach, I was like, okay, finally, yes, we just yeah. You know, we get the classic four here. That's good. The Rosalina thing was a neat thing, but yeah, as Kevin said, it takes a long time to actually get her out there. Unfortunately, I never really did any multiplayer stuff because when this game came out, my children were just too young to really get into it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to sort of revisit this game with them because I know now that they're a little bit older, they've been asking me to play it, and I do have the Switch version, so we can try and play it again, and maybe they'll get into it.
It's a good time.
But I just, overall, I really like it. I think it makes wonderful use of space and 3D sort of dimensions, but not actually like 3D viewing like the 3D Land does. And I would have beaten it myself if it wasn't for the fact that there's a level right near the end that is I just found impossible to get by with this giant cube that's like rolling in lava. And you have to like stay on one side of the cube the entire time, otherwise you fall in the lava. So even if you take the suit, you know, the sort of mercy, oh, here you are, you're invincible now. That doesn't help you if you fall in the lava. You're still screwed.
Oh, yeah.
So I never beat that stage. So I never beat this one either. But I do know that the ending sequence is pretty wild. So I appreciate that. So for me, this is a 4. It's a very strong four. Like
4.
It's
okay.
A really good game. I'd like to revisit it again with my kids, and maybe we'll all have more fun with it. But yeah, for me, it's a strong 4.
All right. Which is not to be mistaken for a strong pour, which is what you get at my home bar. Nadia.
I can really go for a cocktail right now, but I will say that I think my...
Breakfast martinis for everyone.
Yeah, breakfast of champions. I think my opinion echoes Stuart quite a bit in that it was just like, oh, here's what Mario Land started, here's the 3D world, like really improved upon. Going back to what I said earlier about how these games are probably the most joyous in the Mario universe, 100% is the case with this game, which is the first time I noticed... Wow, Nintendo finally knows how to do HD graphics because there are levels that just look incredible and you finally feel like, wow, Mario is here in a new realm. Like there are levels that are just like, I think there's a circus land, like, and mm-hmm. It looks fantastic. And you have those crazy ass boss battles where you're like, well, it's like kicking a soccer ball at Bowser's car until he gets pissed off enough at you. Like, it's just, who came up with that? Like, that's the kind of thing I love about these games. Like, oh, I want to make a car. Okay, let's put it in the game. How are we going to put this in the game? I don't know. I want to make Bowser a cat. Why? Why not? It sounds fun. And yeah, this game has a fantastic end battle. So just a fun, very colorful, fun power-ups. I like the cherry power-up, which was born out of a glitch. And they said, let's put this into a game. Again, just that sense of light-hearted joy. This is why I give the game a very solid 4. It's especially if you play the Switch version, which is considerably cleaned up mechanically.
I just want to echo what you were talking about, Nadia, because I remember this came out, I want to say this is 2014, so...
2013.
2013, okay. So it was, obviously it was early in Nintendo's HD era, but it was kind of a little bit late compared to the other consoles. But when this came out, sort of the vibe on Twitter was like, what the hell? Like, does Nintendo have access to more colors that other people just don't have? Like, why does this game look so goddamn good?
They can see in UV.
Exactly. Like, it just, you know, we were starting to push back at the brown and gray HD, mm-hmm. you know, dull area. And then this game arrived and it was just like, yeah, it was like the, you know, Sixth Doctor's coat, but good.
Yeah, the limitation to the Unreal Engine is that it only has access to a 52 color palette, and they're all shades of brown. Yeah. So that's tough. Nintendo, you know, using its own tech, still had access to the full spectrum.
You like colors, huh? We'll have all the colors in the world.
That's exactly right. All right, so this brings us to my opinion, which is that I love this game. I think it's amazing. It really, like, I kind of echo what Stuart had to say in that it feels like a 2D Mario game, but with the openness of 3D space. And that extends all the way into kind of the way the overworld works, which is, you know, clearly inspired by Mario World and the new Super Mario Brothers games where it's linked stages, you know, connected, but it just kind of gets rid of the connecting paths. And even though functionally it still works the same, just taking away that visual element and giving people the idea that they're free to move around is really great. And yeah, the introduction of multiplayer in a 3D space is great. But I especially like the fact that it deliberately reaches back to Super Mario Brothers 2, the USA version, and draws those four characters and says, okay, what if you could play as these four characters, but all at the same time? And that's a great component for a great concept for multiplayer. It has great power-ups, great weapons. I love how so many of the stages break from, you know, kind of the Mario tradition. Nadia, you mentioned the casino. There's like a train. And yes, the Bowser, like Bowser stole Wario's car, basically.
Yeah.
And you're fighting that. You know, it does a great job of mixing up areas where you kind of just roam around casually and can just kind of do your thing with more desperate, you know, dashes for safety. It balances out all the parts of everything that makes Mario good and appealing. It looks great. And I know they reissued it for Switch, but there is something very appealing about playing it on Wii U with that chunky gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really need the second screen functionality for this game, but there's just something like, I don't know. I'm an apologist for the Wii U. I loved the gamepad concept. And this is one of those games like Mario Maker and Pikmin 3 where it just feels like, oh yeah, this, like, I need to play this on Wii U. So that being said, I'm giving this a 3 right behind, what was it, Mario Galaxy and Mystery Other Game, which, you know, the mystery is kind of waning quickly as we get to the end of this ranking list. But yeah, I love this game, and it really does feel like it took Mario 3D Land to the next level. And, you know, now that we've played it on Switch, it works perfectly well in a portable system. So, again, validation for portable gaming. So, let's
see. Can I also give a shout-out? The music in this game is wonderful.
Yes.
Has a real, like, big... I think they literally made a big band, like, CD of the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. A lot of these tunes get reused in Captain Toad because they're that good. And, yeah, really fantastic. I'm pretty sure... You know, Jeremy, you and I, we went to that Mario concert in Tokyo in 2015, and I'm pretty sure they used some of this music and they played it in front of us, and we were like, "This is good. We are happy to be here."
Yes,
life is
good. That was a great show. Yeah,
that does sound awesome.
It does have great music. Yeah.
Yeah, so this ends up with an 18, tying it with Super Mario 3D Land. So Nintendo, after, you know, this might have been kind of their doldrums in terms of sales with the 3DS and Wii U.
Yeah.
But they were creatively on fire at this point, which is why so many of those games have resurfaced on Switch, I think, because they rightly and correctly realize, like, we made some kick-ass games on Wii U, and no one played them, and the world deserves to enjoy them, and, you know... Vindicated by the fact that those games are selling like 40 million units or something, like numbers normally reserved for Minecraft and Grand Theft Auto. Just, you know, here's another iteration of Mario Kart. It's the best-selling game of all time, or close to it. Anyway, Mario 3D World, pretty great game. Love it. All right, so speaking of the Switch adaptation of Mario 3D World, there is a game that is kind of a standalone game and kind of not. I wasn't sure how to include Bowser's Fury here, but I just decided to just go ahead and throw it in as its own game. And I'll go first here and just say I don't love this one. Again, when you have those iterative Nintendo 3D sequels, it just doesn't quite connect with me. It feels like more of the same. But really, the thing that bugs me about Bowser's Fury is it has this really interesting concept, which is that Bowser does his kaiju thing again, like at the end of, you know, Yoshi's Island, and that you've seen a few other times.
Yeah.
That's a presence throughout the game. And Bowser Jr. is actually upset about it and is like, hey, Mario, you got to help me save my dad. So right there, that's a really interesting premise. Bowser has gone off the deep end so badly that even the worst character wants to team up with you. Aww. And change things. Like, that's saying a lot. But I don't feel like they really do enough with it. Like, sometimes Bowser will show up for kind of these scripted super battles. Sometimes Mario can turn into a kaiju and fight him. But when this game concept was described to me in previews and stuff, it sounded like the entire time you would be playing with giant Bowser in the background trying to destroy you from a distance. And that sounded really interesting and really stressful. That's not actually what happens. Bowser shows up from time to time, but it's always in set places. And I don't know, like, I guess the image I had in my head of like this apocalyptic hellfire game, it's not. It's like, here's some more Super Mario 3D World, but sometimes Bowser's really big and in the background. I also feel like, you know, if you're going to put Bowser Jr. in here hovering around with you the entire time, integrate him into the gameplay. Make him part of, you know, like, have some sort of interaction, like real interaction in terms of game mechanics between Mario and Bowser Jr. Like, make him essential to completing levels, solving puzzles, things like that. So I don't know. I just feel like there's almost something really amazing and really different for Mario here that never quite actually happens, and instead just feels like, you know, here's kind of the expansion pack for Mario 3D World with sometimes Big Bowser. And I don't know. So long, Big Bowser. That's all I can say. I give this one a 7 out of 1. Sorry. Would anyone else like to speak up and defend the honor of Bowser's Fury?
I'll give it a shout out. The reason I actually kind of like this one is because it's almost a concept or a test of what an open world Mario would be like. And I'm curious about that, especially how well that open world Sonic has been received, even though I don't think Frontiers is that great. Oh my God. But
I feel like those are given for Sonic these days.
Yeah.
I like what they did with it. I kind of understood the concept from the starts, but I can understand why you'd be disappointed if you thought like, oh cool, we're gonna be like dodging pissed off Bowser the whole time. That does sound really cool, but yeah, I understood because I did watch the previews and stuff. I understood, okay, this is what we're gonna do with this game. I like it. I like the concept. I like going in between areas with Nessie. I like riding on Nessie. I like Bowser Jr. And the reason why is because I'm probably like the only person in the world who played what was the game? It was in the, you had the, I think it was the Dream Team 3DS version. It had like Bowser's Jr. story along with that on 3DS. And he was just so sympathetic. The poor little guy was just, everyone hated him. Like, don't misunderstand. Nintendo knows nobody likes Bowser Jr. And that's why they just kind of kick him around on occasion. But for this game, yeah, I did enjoy myself. I liked being big ass Lion Mario. I thought Kaiju Bowser was kind of cool. I gave it a 5, to be honest with you. I'd like to see what Nintendo could do more with it in the future.
So bottom half, but not at the bottom of the bottom half. Got it.
No.
Fight, what about you?
As I mentioned, I have 3D World on Switch, so I have this game on Switch, and I like a lot of this game, and I also, as Nighted brought it up, I like Sonic Frontiers too. But to me, this is a lesser game than 3D World. You go from 4-player to essentially 2-player. You know, you can't have everyone at the same time. You can have a friend come and join you as Bowser Jr., but that doesn't, as you said, Jeremy, that doesn't seem as interesting as it really should be. It just seems like he's there and you can like touch the screen and make him paint some stuff to give you like a power up every now and then. I like the sort of hoarding power up things. I think that was cool. I do like the open worldness of it. I thought the kaiju stuff was good. We keep saying kaiju, but obviously when Mario becomes a big cat, he's a cat-ju, right? Yeah? No?
They don't eat bacon, though.
No.
That was good.
You can make that joke. I can't.
Yeah, I'm allowed.
But also, since we mentioned Sonic Frontiers, this does one thing that Sonic Frontiers does that also bugged me in that game, is that essentially with the angry Bowser, sleeping Bowser mechanic, essentially you've got a night and day mechanic. And what happens there is sometimes there are things you can only get during night or day. And if you're not there when it's night or day, your only option is to sort of sit there and wait for the season to change, which is like, that sucks. You know, it sucks if you're playing this game and it's full of stuff. It's like, well, I guess I'm just going to stand here and wait for the environment to change over, which, like, that's stupid.
So it's the Shenmue of Mario is what you're saying.
So for me, it's good. I like it. I'd like to spend more time with it. I want to try, like 3D World, I want to try and see what the multiplayer is like if I have a willing child on hand. But it's lesser, so for me, it's 5.
5, okay. Let's jump over to the UK, where Stuart Gipps says, "It sucks. A Mario game about waiting around. No thanks. 7.
Well, that's yeah.
And
to
finally,
the point.
Kevin, is this the butter on your grilled cheese sandwich?
I couldn't say, because I have never actually played this game. Being based on 3D World, I can already tell I probably like it more than Sunshine, so I gave it a 7.
Okay.
That's
fair enough. So 21, 31 points. That puts it down near the bottom, but it doesn't quite bottom out as much as Mario Sunshine. So Bowser's Fury, more like Bowser's... I can't think of something cool. Okay.
Slurry.
Oh,
there we go.
Got it.
Anyway, so that brings us to our final game for this ranking, which actually I guess came out before Bowser's Fury, but I attached Bowser's Fury to Super Mario 3D World. So anyway,
also fair.
I feel like as a full proper release, the last of the big Mario 3D games to date, Super Mario Odyssey deserves its own kind of standing here at the very end to wrap things up. So, I can't believe it's already been 6 years since this game, came out. Yeah. We all old. Oh my God.
Oh, gracious.
Let's reverse the order up a little bit. Kevin, lead us into this finale. Is this the butter on your grilled cheese? I've got to know.
It is. This game is...
Yes.
This game is very good. I quite enjoyed it. So this is sort of... You talked a bit about the idea of an open world Mario game, and this is sort of a half step towards there. Because you have the different worlds, but they're all like these wide open spaces, and you just sort of wander around and you find shines or stars, depending on where you are. Moons, that was it, yes.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on the exact terms in each game, but yes. So you're finding the moons, and there's like some really clever ideas in here, like the whole Cap possessing things is... It seems like it should be a lot darker than it is, but the way it's implemented is just really funny.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, and the fact that almost all the human characters are wearing hats so you can't possess them makes it a lot less creepy, I think. But
that's true, that's true.
I get to be a dinosaur, I get to be, you know, Bowser, I get to be a Goomba or 10 Goombas. Like, there's a lot of great things in there. And, you know, you get New Donk City, which is just objectively an excellent stage altogether. So I think this is a really well-put-together game. The music is fantastic. You know, it's got some good big band in there.
It does.
With Pauline's tune. They brought back Pauline. She's great. So, yeah, I gave this a 4 just because I really like it, but there are games that I liked more than this. And that's just because Mario brings those kinds of choices before you.
All right. What do you have to say about Mario Odyssey Diamond Fight?
This was a lot of fun. And I really, you know, in hindsight, we've talked about this. I'm sure people have talked about this on the internet before, but it's like the fact that the Switch launched with Breath of the Wild and Odyssey in the same year, and we're ending with Tears of the Kingdom and the newest Mario game, and I've got to assume there's some kind of new 3D game that they're just holding on to for the next whatever console it's going to be. You know, I don't know if it's Odyssey 2 or if they're going to go pick a new noun. But you've got to assume they've got some kind of new 3D game in their pocket to experiment with in the near future, because this is a really good game. You know, I read some contrarian opinions at the time who said they didn't like the fact that the worlds looked so different. You know, they said aesthetically it was a really weird game. Like it's because, like, you know, you're in like a candy colored sort of, you know, food kingdom one minute, and then like you're in like a Dark Souls kingdom, and then you're on the moon, the actual moon. But for me, no, that's what I love. I think this goes back to me for 64. The fact that you go to these new places and they're all weird. They're all full of strange things, and you can throw your cap on people and take over their bodies, and you transform into different shapes, and everything you transform into does something different. And some of them don't do anything, but it's just, you need to do this one thing. You need to be a cactus for like 3 seconds to move the cactus out of the way to get a moon in the middle of the desert, you know? The bosses are weird in this game. They're really weird bosses. Gosh, they're weird. And then Mario has costumes. You can be like Wario colored Mario. You can be like old poly Mario. You can be basically nude Mario in little tiny shorts. You see his nipples. You know, I don't want to see his nipples, but god damn it, you get to see his nipples.
That was a big deal. Like, yeah. I was writing for US Gamer when that came out, and there were so many stories about, holy shit, Mario has nipples. Well, you would assume he's a mammal, so I mean...
Well, Mario confirmed as a mammal now. Mario confirmed as a mammal.
It got worse when Luigi's schlong was outlined in one of the tennis games. Oh, everyone popped.
And then, of course,
Tumblr, I miss you.
The fact that Mario is not quite human compared to the other humans of New Donk City, which is weird, you know, that's also a strange thing. But that's good. That's good strange. I want this good strange. I love this good strange. So if you've been paying attention, you know where this is going for me. This is number 3. It's very, very good. It's close to top tier, and I love it, and I hope we get more Odyssey. I actually didn't say this. I'm sorry. We got to mention the fact that, yes, does Peach get kidnapped again? Yes, she does. Does this end with her basically getting an arc? Yes. And then if you keep playing the game after you see the ending, she just travels the worlds on her own and she's doing her own thing. That's fantastic. And let's shout out also friend of the show, frequent guest Henry Gilbert, got married in a Bowser tuxedo because that was amazing. Yes. It's a great game.
I respect it.
Sure. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love the fact that once you beat the game, Peach is like, you know what? I'm sick of both of you. I'm just going to go have my own adventures, my own life. Piss off Mario, piss off Bowser. I need my own world. I need, you know, to do my own things and be a human on my own right, or a human sort of shaped character who's not, doesn't actually look like a real human, I guess, in the context
of
this game.
Her outfits are adorable.
Yeah. So, like, good for you, Peach. But I mean, the path to getting there is also just really enjoyable. I feel like this is the game where game developers finally figured out how to really make an open, exploratory-ish 3D action game platformer in the kind of Mario tradition work.
Yeah.
The worlds are pretty big. They're pretty open. They're pretty free-form. But there is a lot of thoughtful design within those spaces that kind of funnel you into traditional play patterns, you know, like structures that work like your typical action game. And these kind of standalone funnel spaces are all interlinked. And so you sort of enter into one and you have to engage with them in a certain way, but you're not limited to, you know, playing through them in a set order. And there are enough options for how you play through the game, you know, possessing creatures and, you know, just moving around with the different power-ups, that you don't have to approach them necessarily from one direction. It gives you a lot of freedom, but not so much freedom that you experience like choice paralysis. It's just a really, really good balance of open and structured, even more so than Mario Galaxy, which did an incredible job of that. But this really takes it to the next level. And instead of breaking up spaces into lots of smaller, you know, discrete areas, it's more like it just does a better job of abstracting that and giving you kind of these linkages. It's kind of like the way Mario 3D World, the world map took away the pathways and the direct linkages between stages and still functioned the same way as those more traditional maps, but just felt like, oh, you have the option to move around. You have this kind of choice. You have freedom. You don't actually. It's an illusion, but the illusion is sold so well that it just makes it feel, you know, it's very much about the feel of the game. And yeah, for my money, like no Mario 3D game has felt as good as Mario Odyssey and been as much of a just kind of do it your own way. And reaching back to the very beginning of this episode, talking about how Fight is a new native New Donker, this is the game that gave us New Donk City. And, you know, really felt like a fun, surprising, savvy way for Mario to reach back to his very primal roots and kind of celebrate, you know, the entire span, 25 years at that point, no, 35 years at that point, of the Mario experience. And there's nothing about this game that I don't like, honestly. It's just great in every respect, and it is my number one Mario 3D game.
Ooh.
Nadia, where do you stand? Can you support those bold allegations that I have just made?
Well, I will say, I reviewed this game for US Gamer, and I was, of course, under a very strict embargo. So I got to the level where Bowser's riding on this Game of Thrones-ass dragon, and I felt like I was on drugs, and everything was so weird, and I couldn't say anything to anybody. The only other time that happened to me is when I discovered Meowth in Sword and Shield, Pokemon Sword and Shield, and he's like this weird Viking thing. I nearly screamed in terror, and that kind of happened here as well. But that's why I love this game, is because, as Fight said earlier, it's so unique. It's so everything is a different experience, and that to me is important in a Mario game. I like being surprised in Mario games in every regard possible. And I liked how this was a sandbox game of a sort where you were rewarded for everything you did. And even though, like, you know, the reward maybe was something piddling, like a couple of coins for going up in some place where you shouldn't be able to reach, it was just an acknowledgement from the developers, like, hey, you're cool. You did this. Like, here's a moon. Here's a coin. Here's whatever. I mean, didn't New Donk City have a, you know, one way to earn a moon was to sit with a guy and listen to his troubles, and it's like,
yep,
that was cool. Like, I like the kind of thing. Like, hey,
Mario the Empath.
Yeah, he's more than running and jumping. I like that. And you didn't get a moon for this, but there's a guy in New Donk City who's driving an RC car, and he's like, I don't know what my kids see in this. And you can break the car. You can, like, smash it with your butt. And he's just like, don't break it. So now it's like, okay. This guy has to explain to his kids that Mario destroyed their toy with his butt, and I just like that. The game's just so full of, like, I feel like it's the accumulation, the final pinnacle of what Mario 64 was, and I think that's why I kind of had to rate Mario 64 so much lower, is because it's the kind of game where I'm going to be playing it and saying, well, you know what? I want to play Mario Odyssey now, because that's this, but so much more complete, so much more to do, so much more beautiful, so much more... the soundtrack, like, there's a fantastic funk soundtrack seating in there for some reason. It's just like, why not? Yeah, absolutely one of my favorites. I'm very eager to see if there's a sequel for the Switch 2 that we all know is coming. It is my number two.
Number two. And finally, from Stuart Jip, wrapping up this episode, says, Super Mario Odyssey is very good, but mostly repeats from previous games and way too easy. I'm surprised to hear that, actually. Yeah, I thought there was a lot of really fresh, interesting stuff. Like, there were a few spaces where you were like, oh, this reminds me of Mario 64. Like, when you get up to, there's like this fog-shrouded land that is very, very Mario 64. It, like, actually recreates one of those spaces. But I didn't feel like it was just
the whole
rehashing.
Princess Peach's Castle.
I was going to say, they have the literal Mario 64 stage.
Sure. But, I mean,
they have so much more than that.
Yeah, that's not all you've got here. It's just kind of like a, hey, here are bits and pieces from Mario's history scattered throughout this much bigger world. And it, you know, it does feel like an adventure, but, you know, fair enough. So that's 8, 10, 14 points. Oops, 214, no, 14. So that puts Super Mario Odyssey tied for first with Galaxy. There were two ties in here. Wow. We're also weak. My God. right. So,
you know, it's funny.
That's the rankings.
It's impressive. It's impressive when you look at back and how we all kind of agreed that Sunshine sucks, and we all collectively put Bowser's Fury pretty low, and yet none of us had the same number one. We all picked different number ones.
Interesting.
Hey, how about that?
That is amazing.
That's Mario.
All right, so the definitive final ranking of Mario 3D games from 8 to 1. At number 8, the worst of the batch, although not a horrible game, just a little rough and in need of, you know, a proper remake, I think, to bring out its good stuff. We have Super Mario Sunshine with 38 points out of a possible 40.
Owie.
Then we have at number 7, Bowser's Fury, which, you know, in fairness is not a full game on its own, but... although there's some, you know, fans here, I think everyone, not everyone, but many of us agree it could have been a little better. At number 6, we have Galaxy 2, which kind of surprises me considering how much people loved Galaxy 2, but that's the rules. That was 25 points. At number 5, you have the groundbreaking greatest game of all time, according to Next Generation Magazine 1996, Super Mario 64 with 22 points. And then a tie for third place with Super Mario 3D Land and Super Mario 3D World. Which do you prefer, a land or a world? It doesn't matter. They're the same. They're identical. There's no distinction between these games. They are both the third greatest 3D Mario game of all time. And tied for number one with 14 points each, Super Mario Galaxy and Super Mario Odyssey. Do you prefer your vast, imaginative, interestingly structured Mario game on little planetoids or on big expansive worlds? Either way, it's a great experience. So thank you everyone for your time. And listeners, we would love to hear what you have to say about these rankings, because you are going to tell us that we're wrong. And that's what we're here for, is opinions. You know,
we're here for your slings and arrows.
That's right. They make the world great. Anyway, this has been a Patreon exclusive episode, so I don't need to tell you how you can listen to Retronauts, because you are awesome and already supporting us and listening to us, and we thank you for that, and we hope you have enjoyed our opinions. I hope you do not feel like you have made a poor choice in paying for our opinions. Hopefully we have expressed a spectrum of opinions that something in here you've been able to find simpatico and can say, yes, I connect. And that is why I maintain a parasocial relationship with Retronauts. Anyway, I've been Jeremy Parrish. I will continue to be Jeremy Parrish for the foreseeable future. And you can find me on the internet doing Retronauts, doing stuff at Limited Run Games, and of course, doing my YouTube channel, which is called Jeremy Parrish. Although the channel is not actually named Jeremy Parrish. That's my name. It is not me. Please do not mistake us. It is just a YouTube channel that I couldn't come up with a cool, fun name for. Diamond, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, I took the weekend off from the internet because it was my birthday this weekend. Very exciting.
Happy birthday. Congratulations on aging.
Unfortunately, I checked the timeline. As of this recording, it is no longer my birthday anywhere on the planet Earth. Maybe another planet. But
Mars.
But everyone can start saving up their wishes for your next birthday.
Yes. I'm sure that's what's going to happen next year now. But yes, you can find me on the internet by looking up Fight Club, F-E-I-T. That's my last name. C-L-U-B. That's a plan that Nintendo used to have that gave us free stuff, and it was really cool, but then they got rid of it.
Yes.
Kevin?
You can find me on the internet under a few different names. I've got a YouTube channel, Atari Archive, where I'm playing through a bunch of Atari games and delving into their history in chronological order. And that's supported through a Patreon, also under Atari Archive. And I'm on the internet, on social media, as Ubersaurus.
Nadia.
I am on Twitter, as long as it lasts, as Nadia Oxford, Blue Sky as well. I think I'm on co-host as Nadia Oxford as well, where I blog occasionally. Most importantly, I am part of the Axe of the Blood God RPG podcast. We cover RPGs old, new, Eastern, Western. Please support us at patreon.com/bloodgodpod. That's also where you can support Charlene Dropouts, which is a Final Fantasy XIV podcast that I do with Victor Hunter and Eric Van Allen and Mike Williams. So please listen to us. We'd love your ears for supper.
And of course, not with us here in recording, but with us in spirit, are Stuart Gyp and Bob Mappy. Bob Mappy, yes. the famous mouse policeman who records podcasts. Bob Mackey. You can find them on the internet under their respective names. So look them up. But of course, you, being a regular contributing, subscribing Retronauts listener, know that. So thanks again for supporting us. Look forward to our next Ranking Hootenanny. I feel like we need to do a Zelda 3D at some point. So guess I will play Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes.
And lead that up in a few months. Okay, fine. Yes. So look forward to that. And please be sure to look up our previous Ranking Hootenannies, because they are always a good time if you like to be angry.
Good night. So let's all jump up super high. There's no power up like